It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Everyone, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast. We are here from Academia.
Thank God.
Academia Brewing Company, one of the best restaurants in the wonderful town of Athens, Georgia. Normally, we go live from Champy's, and we want to say a quick shout-out to our folks at Champy's, but they're closed this week, I believe. I think they're on vacation. So Josh and Amy, I'm sure
Well-earned.
Well-earned vacation for them. But they are open here at Academia. They're also going to be open on July 4th, so come out, and you can watch all the World Cup matches, get fantastic beers, fantastic food, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the show. We got a lot to talk about. I'm sorry I missed last week. You guys covered all the crazy things that were going on, but we just got back from the Rivals 5-Star Challenge, and we'll talk to you about that. First and foremost, I want to introduce Jim Donnan, former Georgia head coach. He will be answering your questions. So if you have a question about Georgia football, you know, team stuff, all the he knows more than anybody. He will be able to help you. If you have a recruiting question, we have Jake Roos here. Jake Roos is the recruiting guru at UGASports.com. Recruiting associate editor. I don't think I've used that one yet.
That's a
I give him a new title each week.
Is that your title?
No, I don't know. I get a new one each week, man. I don't know.
Vice president.
I just show up where they tell me to go.
Roddy's the vice president in charge of vice.
Yeah. So we got Jake Roos. He will also answer your questions. So if you have anything Georgia-related, Georgia recruiting-related, or you want to talk about anything, I mean – if you ask Coach Dunn about the World Cup, he will have an answer for you. You ask him about politics, he'll have an answer for you.
Just because I'm not at the opening, don't think I've been watching every video that's come out either. So,
that's right.
You want to talk about the opening? We'll talk about Rivals Challenge. Get all your questions in, and we will answer them. We'll talk more about them later in the show, but I want to give a big shout out to Athens Ford. If you come into town this week, swing by Athens Ford. The deals they have for their 4th of July specials, the Independence Day specials, are out of this world. You got to see those. Swing by here, have your lunch. I mean, it's not too far away. I mean, it's maybe what, 2-3 miles.
Yep.
If you're not into beer and great food, I can't help you. I mean, I just. Speaking of great food, also want a quick shout out to Your Pie. It's summer now. I think this is the best time of year to swing by Your Pie, have a beer, and have one of their custom made pies. So swing by Your Pie and try that. Other sponsors. Cable East out in Statham. Thank you, Robert Wall, for sponsoring the show. Big shout out to 365 Game Day. If you need Georgia gear, it's July. We are 61 days away from kickoff. You are going to need new Georgia logos, polos, and Georgia logo hats and all that stuff. Go to 365 Game Day and pick it up. You can go to Rivals Store and get it, which would be, you know, that's great. I think we get a 1% kickback. Woo! But if you go by 365 Game Day, you will be supporting a Georgia graduate, just like the folks here at Academia. They're all Georgia grads. Came up with the concept. They're doing wonderful beer. Same with Athens Ford. Same with Your Pie. So you kind of notice a theme of our sponsors. These are Georgia people that you need to take care of because they take care of us and they take care of your Bulldogs.
So they got some good new stuff there at 365?
They do.
I'll predict this. If you're a Georgia fan, you're going to need to get something for 7 days a week because you're going to need to stretch your stuff when you see our team. Hey, you're going to need 7 days a week of it after this team gets out there. So, hey, get you some new Georgia. And that doesn't have anything to do with just the reality of you just can't have enough Georgia stuff around your house everywhere. It's going to be – you're just going to – all your neighbors are going to be sold to the max because.
Well, think about this. You're already.
I'm talking about your neighbors that like other teams.
Which, why are they living here? Tell them to move back home.
Some people live in other towns to watch this show.
Athens is still a great town, even if you don't support Georgia, but I imagine it's the hardest place you could possibly choose to live.
Well, we have, I think, about 70% of our listeners who are and people who watch the show live in Atlanta, and I've got friends who have Florida fans who are neighbors, you know, and it's all well and good until they have a Georgia Tech fan. I mean, they got Auburn fans on one side, Tennessee fan, you know, in the building behind them or something like that. But apparently it's the Georgia Tech rivalry that make for poor neighbors. And I'm not saying that's the Georgia Tech guys are bad neighbors. I'm just saying that they don't seem to get along as well as do the Florida and Georgia fans that I know who live side by side. I guess it's more that's more kind of a, you know, give and take, you know, good-natured, all SEC folks. But with Georgia and Georgia Tech, it's old-fashioned hate, and I think that extends to the fan bases living beside each other. So
I would love if you guys want to hop in the comments. Tell us which set of fans you hate the most. I'd really like to know because I hear varied responses from everybody. Where I'm from in the state of Georgia, I'm right on the Tennessee line, so most of the people that I know are really diehard against Tennessee fans because they interact with them a lot. Same thing, like you said, with the Georgia Tech guys. I know that the Auburn guys down in Columbus, that's a big one. And then right on the state line, you know those Gator fans are always big. So, yeah, let us know who rubs you the wrong way. Coach, who rubs you the wrong way?
Oklahoma State.
I knew that was coming. I was going to try to jump in there beforehand. So you're a big Mike Gundy fan, right?
I like Mike. I
know you
Mike,
were, actually.
But I like Mike a lot better than I do the Aggies. But it's just one of those deals. I mean, you know, after you lived out there like I did for 5 years and just – I don't hate them. It's just – I don't like them, I guess is the best part.
Well, that's exactly when I've heard that same line about, you know, like I said, my friends who are Georgia fans, and they talk about their across the street Auburn guy. He's got his Auburn flag up. And one of my friends was telling me about how after the regular season game last year, you know, when Auburn beat number one Georgia and, you know, whipped him pretty good, how his friend was a pain in the butt to put up with. And
That's just the way it is.
Well, then after the SEC championship game, I'm like, well, what are you going to do now? He's like, nothing. I'm just going to let him sit there and stew in it. He made a butt of himself, you know, kind of throwing it in my face. And I'm too busy. I'm getting ready for the Rose Bowl. So I'm like, well, yeah, that's the best revenge, if you will, is just to have continued success.
You know, he had a playback of the Rose Bowl on TV on SEC Network about 10 days ago, and just incredible that game, just all the ebb and flow of it and the coaching involved and the players and the support. You know, after you look at it the second time, you really take in the fact about, you know, how big a deal it was to win that game because we were so far down.
Yeah.
And just to come back. But let's get to whatever we got to do here today. But I tell you what, this place – is really, we've talked about it when we hadn't been here, but just a really good atmosphere for, you know, if you want to just come in and not even care about sports, it's great. But
absolutely.
At the same time, all the big screens and just plenty of room in here. And, you know, you can play a soccer game in here.
I mean, there's plenty of room. And
good.
We may be drinking three different beers at a time here. So
I certainly am.
Well, I mean, you guys are two-fisted drinkers.
Well, this
is not one thing when you walk in a place, you usually get a good feel for it. You know what I mean? And just a good atmosphere to have, you know, relax and kick back. And so you guys really were in utopia there for a couple of days up there on expense account up there watching those kids, you know, running around. And,
yeah, we did have the Rivals Challenge. For those who are not familiar with it, is this year five, the Rivals Challenge?
I think this is seven, I'm not mistaken.
Good Lord. A couple of them I don't remember because we were there on the expense account. And so we've the seventh year, the Rivals Challenge, where basically it's very similar to the Nike opening. We have camps throughout the year, you know, in the spring, and we take the top performers at all those camps and we invite them to the Rivals Challenge. And it's been, you know, we've had it in Baltimore, we've had it in Indianapolis, we've had it in Atlanta. This week it just happened to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so we brought them all there. And we've got basically, you know, 100 of the top players in the nation, 20 of which are looking at Georgia, a couple Georgia commits.
Absolutely. Yeah, we interviewed, so. I think we came away from that with about
27 or so.
Yeah, I was going to say nearing 30 updates.
Yeah, so I kind of sandbagged it there. So we've got about 27 kids who are hearing from Georgia. Because remember, it's the top performers at the camp, so that means it's not all just 2019 kids. There are some 2020 players who showed up that were better than 2019 guys, and so we invited them to the camp. And, you know, go back, I remember when we invited D'Angelo Gibbs as a true freshman.
Absolutely.
You know, to come to the camp because he was that good, and he turned out to be a five-star player. So, point being, we had all those guys there. So, if you swing by UGASports.com, we have updates all over the place. But, Coach, on the front page of UGA Sports right now, one of my favorite stories, and actually he's turning out to be one of my favorite kids in this class, the new offensive lineman Xavier Trust. He says that look, Georgia's loaded offensive line. Why did you want to come to Georgia? He says, well, it's all on Sam Pittman. I think if anybody can coach me, Sam Pittman is the guy. And he wants to be part of what he called Pittman's wall. And I'm thinking, Wow, Pittman's Wall. That's a great moniker. I like that concept. So,
well, the one thing you like about Sam and Coach Smart's philosophy and their vision was, you know, a couple years ago when they first got in here, one of their big deals was we're going to try to get a lot bigger and a lot more physical in both sides of the line. Maybe not as big on the defensive line, but more physical. And, you know, truer words never spoken. When you look at our two and three deep out there, our second team line right now is very comparable to a lot of teams' first team lines in our league. And the competition is good. And then the freshmen that are adding to that with Hill and Salyer and Condon and, you know, Erickson are all guys that have, you know, tremendous upside. I think you look at guys and we hear the same thing about Mel Tucker with these defensive backs can help me get to the league. The same thing with Schumann. And overall, just Kirby's history of that. So, and these kids have high expectation. They're, you know, realistically, a lot of them aren't going to make it to the next level, but certainly some of them are going to. And the guys you're dealing with, these four- and five-star guys that are already up there, junior and senior years, those are the guys usually that have the ability to be the preeminent players in the country. And I think it's such a great evaluation that you guys have there to have a chance to see how these guys go against people of comparable talent. Now, a guy can go out there in his own league and dominate and all that, but all of a sudden, if you're going against the best in the country, you find out a lot about, hey, now this guy's not quite as good as I thought, or this guy, like I heard about that one receiver y'all had on there. I was just mesmerized by all the stuff y'all had out there. I'm going to give you a little love. That was good. You know, very, very salient to what was going on, and it gave our readers a lot of chance to see what was happening. But what's the kid's name for the receiver that jumped up there, begins with a G or something?
Nolan Gruel. Right. Yeah, a little bitty guy. Yeah. You know, not a guy you would pick out if you went to a game, maybe stand on the sidelines, you wouldn't say he's the star. But when the lights are on and the kid's on the field, hard to stop.
I would take him in a heartbeat, Coach.
I like those hiccup guys. I mean, yeah. You know, quick as a hiccup can make you miss a –
and catches everything.
You gotta be able to have a guy like that can make those plays. Getting back to Pittman, just to reiterate, trust. I don't want to get off the deal. There's a guy that's a national recruit that we might have let a couple guys go here in the state that could have been 2 years ago people we would have taken, but we had a chance to go after this guy. Upside is unlimited. Got good feet. Good long arms. He can move, and he's going to be physical. So,
and I think this past weekend, we saw him in action. He's not as aggressive as some of the guys. I mean, there were a bunch of younger guys who kept jumping in at left tackle, trying to get reps. You know, trying to show what they could do. And he was kind of hanging back.
There's nothing for him to prove.
Exactly.
A lot of those guys you're talking about, you know, lesser rated guys or younger guys,
yeah.
And they want to play that money position.
Right.
They want to be thought of as next level left tackles.
Which a couple of them were not. They were guards right. Trying to pretending. But Xavier wasn't rude. You know, he's from Rhode Island. He's like, you guys want to fight over that spot, you go ahead. But when he did get in, we saw some good things, we saw some bad things.
You know,
the thing I don't like
about those drills, though, they're so tilted to the defense.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, if you know it's a third down and you're rushing the passer and you don't have to worry about draw or guy coming off on you like that, that puts a guy on an island. And if a guy can hold his own in that drill, you're not going to dominate unless you're just bigger and stronger than the guy. So I think all coaches look at that one-on-one and mainly just try to check their feet and their balance.
Well, that was my point.
Hand placement and all that, because it's very tilted toward the defense, just like when you go to pass skeleton, 7-on-7 is tilted toward the offense because the quarterback doesn't have to have any pass protection and all that. So, but it is a good evaluation process, yeah. And I'm glad that you guys can pick out the good players like I knew you could.
Wow. I don't know if we need you there. Trust showed great feet. Yeah, so for 6'8", 340 pounds, that guy is light on his feet. He can move. He hasn't – you talk about going up against the best in the nation – he hasn't quite seen guys as fast as what he saw on Saturday.
Absolutely. And he said, you know, I asked him, what's going to be the biggest adjustment, do you think, coming to Georgia? he said, I think it's the culture. I think it's the way that, things are played. You know, coming from that scenario, it's very similar, I think, to Isaiah Wilson.
Absolutely.
You know, you come from Brooklyn, New York, not a hotbed for, national football talent. Xavier Truss, a guy with all the upside in the world, though, reminds me similarly of Isaiah. Not maybe not as strong and as powerful as he was.
But better feet.
As big.
Which we said last week.
Yep.
When we
exactly.
I think the big thing there is, when's the last time you heard of a guy from Rhode Island really on the national scale? I mean, they just don't roll off your lips like other people from Michigan or St. Louis or whatever might be around the country. It's not anything against Rhode Island, but, you know, you just don't hear a lot about that quality of football up there. And but I think it's still another point that I would make here, and then I'll let you guys give it, is when you can get to a national basis where you can go after selective recruiting out of state to augment your in-state dominance, you're in a really good position here. You know, you look at a guy like Quay Walker last year coming in here. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, people, Quay Walker – makes my mouth water.
And Channing Tindall.
Oh, Tindall, of course. We can talk about all those guys, but yeah. Still, you're in a position where you can get guys like David. You can go to the other states and build on it, what you got. And I think that's where Kirby's done a magnificent job of using the personnel people with Marshall Malchow, all these guys. They're going around and they're taking those paper tigers around the country and throwing out bait. You know, this big kid, DB from out in California, where I'm reading about him.
Yeah.
I mean, all these guys, they're looking at Georgia, and when you're playing for all the marbles, you got a chance for that.
Well, I think we had updates from the number one running back for 2019, you know, and Trey Sanders. We had the number one running back for 2020 out in Texas. We had the number two player for 2020, also talking about Georgia. So if you swing by UGASports.com, I mean – and to your point, Coach, and I'm not just trying to brag on the stories that we had, although I kind of am. But
you should.
The point being, these aren't just, oh, well, I like Georgia, I'm hearing from them. They are giving concrete examples of their discussions with Kirby Smart and Mel Tucker and Sam Pittman. And
Dale McGee,
they're talking about
both these running backs, both these articles you wrote. I mean,
Featured prominently
about his relationship with him, and he said he set the bar high. Now he's going high for these guys, and the same thing true with Hankton coming in here, receivers and the quarterbacks we're going after.
Well, I'll give you a rule of thumb when you're reading a story, and this is not a fact that you can live off of, but it's something you can go by. If we talk to a kid and he can name his recruiter, the position coach, how many times he talks to him, there's something there. Now, when a kid goes, yeah, I like Georgia, and I like their coaching staff, and I like their facilities, but he can't name
– I like the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
You know, hey,
yeah,
Georgia Yellow Jackets.
When he can't – exactly. If he can't name the mascot, but if it's generic, it's a cliche. You know, you always say nice things about him, but when you can give specifics, you know, my mom talks to Mel Tucker, you know, my brother went through this, you know, and he was recruited by Dale McGee. He went wherever I'm looking at. In other words, the more specifics a kid gives, that means it's more what we call in advertising top of mind.
Yeah.
You know, top of mind awareness. He's thinking about them. He's heard from them. Georgia reached out to a lot of these kids that were going to the five-star challenge and to the opening, you know, and wished them luck. So the point being, there are real relationships there, and a lot of these kids were out of state, which was what made that five-star challenge so much fun is – we're talking to kids from, you know, California, Texas, all over the country, and they are raving about Georgia. It also helped that they were in the national title game.
Absolutely.
I know, they didn't win it, you know, they were right there, but they could point to the fact that, you know, Georgia led, you know, until it was tied and they went to overtime. They're like, you took Nick Saban to overtime. The program is on the upswing, and a lot of them have already visited. So that's
right.
You know, that's your second step. You know, you can talk about Georgia theoretically, but when a kid says, yeah, I was there this past, you know, March with my mom. I was there. We got a kid coming out for the grand opening. By the way, July 26th apparently is the
26th or 28th.
I don't know. 20. I think it's 26th.
I think it's that weekend. I mean, it's
Anyway. The West End Zone, which has been revamped, this $60 million renovation of the West End Zone, which is basically a recruiting
lounge.
A recruit. Well, the whole thing was based on fixing recruits. It wasn't to make the folks in the stands there more comfortable, is to give the team a locker room, to have a recruiting area that's not, you know, in the end zone and, you know, up 47 different flights of stairs. That thing is going to be unveiled. And, again, this is why I love what Kirby Smart does. He's like, okay, we're going to unveil this. Yeah, we can unveil it to the media. We can unveil it to donors. But let's unveil it to the people it was designed for, recruits. So
yeah,
they're going to be recruits.
Campus.
Exactly. It's another – it gives you an excuse to bring them in. You show them what's going to be there. And then you say, hey, while you're here, now imagine what it's going to be like in 5 weeks when we kick off against Austin Peay. Imagine what it's going to be like when Tennessee's here. You know,
and should be noted, I think, that that's going to come, that's going to coincide right with the end of this new dead period, this summer dead period.
Yeah.
So you think that was planned out? You think
that's
that they're on those guys to finish it up?
Oh, my
the
God.
First weekend that's... they're going to have be able to get guys back on campus. It's for this new recruiting center. That's masterfully played.
That's almost,
you know,
that's almost smart as a
thing
beer.
Here about the national recruits and the and things like that. And then you mentioned about Alabama. You know, every kid – Alabama can't get every kid, you know, and they certainly have been the benchmark along with Clemson, and now we're starting to get up there in Ohio State and all. But these kids like to get a comparison, you know what I mean? They like to look at – but when they get that comparison, they want to look at what's the best opportunity to win. Now, Alabama might be for some of them, but now we give them that other – look at, you know, another situation where, you know, very similar the way the programs are run, all the things that they do for the kids. I mean, we just – the thing that I think is overbearing here that I want to present to the fans today is our program has good morale.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like anything. If you go to work or you go to school and you're not feeling good about what you're doing, about the surroundings and all that, and you're looking for reasons to find something wrong with it, there's a lot of things that going right here, you know, the way these kids are taken care of, you know what I mean? They walk off the field, they got a chance to, when they walk off from a workout, they're going to either have a smoothie, a Gatorade, a water, some watermelon, a hamburger, something's there for them.
Ice cream.
Hey, it's there, boy. And I like that. I mean, I like to get a little piece of watermelon when I get off the field.
You know, you mentioned
that. But that's not the difference. But I'm just saying every little detail is set up here to make the kids feel like there's no – you got a chance to be as good as you can be. You know, where academically they do a good job with them.
I was going to mention the academics, yes.
Strength and conditioning, whatever it might be. But – I'm sure we got thousands of questions.
We do have a bunch of questions.
We got to get with going here, but I want to say this: that all the stuff that you give on these kids, these recruiting fanatics or these people are just behind the program. It gives you an opportunity to see where these kids stand, because I promise you, it's a lot earlier in the decision making process than it used to be, and you got to get on these kids early.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're out there at the at these two hospitals when these kids are born. They're giving them Georgia diapers now. You know what I mean? It's early.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And you know, Coach, I think that you mentioned that about the morale around the program, and I think that that is so important, because so often you hear these kids talking about wanting to fit in with their teammates. It's not just about who's recruiting them on the staff or who they're spending time with or who's calling mom. It's coming to campus and spending time with Justin Fields and having him say, look, I think the best guy's going to win here. Also, it's a fantastic experience. Those guys are tremendous recruiters in their own right. I think that's
I forgot. We had was the kid out of Miami that said he came and sat down with Tyson Campbell and Justin Fields?
It was, yes, Tyreek Stevenson.
Yeah, so a major, major Georgia target. He can get the spiel and the pitch from the Georgia coaches, but a five-star defensive back – and a five-star quarterback are talking to him about, hey, we've been here, you know, one showed up in December, one's been here since last week of May, and they're telling him, here's what we've seen so far. And he's like, they love it there. So, again, you could almost have that adjustment period, maybe that homesickness. That's not what they're telling the kid. They're like, hey, come play with us.
Yeah.
And you got Tyson Campbell, who's, you know, again, five-star, one of the biggest names in the last year's class, and Justin Fields, you know, who – could be the number one guy in the class, might wind up being going to be an incredibly successful quarterback by most projections. They're saying, we love it here. So that, again, the morale is very important. All right, let's hit some questions.
Yeah, let's hit some questions, definitely. A lot of people chiming in already talking about, wondering about James Cook, the five-star running back out of the Miami area, and his status. Roddy, what's the latest you've heard there?
Well, he did put out on, and thanks to the folks on the Dog Vent, I didn't see this, but if you go to the UGA Sports, our message board is called the Dog Vent, somebody actually put up his Instagram photo, which was said, last day in Miami. But here's the thing. We've been told he was coming to town multiple different times.
Hey, it's very true.
So I said, look, that's great. And we told you, a month ago that he was supposed to be here at the first week of July. Mm-hmm. He had a class through June. He would be here in July, or at least that's what we were told, if the class went well. One of our insiders says everything's good to go. He should be here shortly. But I'm not going to feel comfortable until I see James Cook put out an Instagram photo or a tweet or something saying, I'm in town.
I don't know that I'm going to feel comfortable until I see him in Athens personally.
Well, that's what he just said. But
it's not a shot to him. It's just I like to see I's dotted, T's crossed, and I don't trust the NCAA clearinghouse when it comes to last-minute surprises. I like to know that a kid's here. There have been too many times where I've had the kid, his coach, trainer, and teacher say a kid's supposed to arrive on, June 1st, and they don't show up.
The biggest problem for everybody is the unknown, the fact that he's not here. Then you can dream up a lot of reasons why he's not. But we've, quantified that many times that he had to get cleared by the NCAA clearinghouse, which is a national-type deal. So, but I've been reassured through some sources that I can't say who they are, and the only thing I'm saying – is, it's kind of like that insurance company or that somebody, the check's in the mail, man. I think he's coming. He's going to be here, and he's going to be a vital part of our team, just like these other guys. We got a good-looking team on the hoof, I promise you that.
We've got another couple questions rolling in here concerning the secondary. A couple people want to know how are the injured guys coming along. And also, Jake Fernandez says, what's the secondary looking like overall? Where we projected to land, I guess.
I would say this about the secondary here. From my standpoint, athletically, we've really enhanced our secondary. We were very – smart secondary last year, had some really good students of the game, didn't make many positional problems as far as being out of where they're supposed to be. So we might not be quite as, running quite as many coverages this year, but our first line and second line guys, to me, athletically, now we knew we had Baker, but now we got these other guys, and we can hit that real quick. Wilson Devon?
Yeah, Devon Wilson.
Devon Wilson has really come along extremely well. He's way ahead of schedule, but, ACL. Webb is out there. He's ready to go. He just had a small meniscus tear. And, we got Gibbs back now, is working with the team, hadn't been cleared from what I've heard. I don't know when he will be, but he wouldn't be doing all that, going to the camps and all that if he wasn't on the team. And then we got these other guys that really improved, William Poole, Stokes, McGee, these guys are going to help. I just feel like, and then you add J.R. Reed, Terry LeCount, we got some guys back there, and then you add Campbell. I'm just telling you now, when they have that Georgia day, when you sign the autographs, just look at that kid and just say to yourself, he's the kind of guy that's lining up around a lot of places, big time corner.
Absolutely.
Now, and
I'm still surprised he's a quarterback.
Can flat out smoke.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got so our secondary to me is going to be improved athletically. It's just going to be a case of how well they are able to function with the front a little bit better, and the fact that we don't have quite as dominant linebacker in losing the guy like we did in Roquan. So some question marks there, but there's some athletes there to work in that position. We got so many people at Jack and at Sam, it's just scary. You look at those defensive linebackers we got on the outside, and then we talked about on the show when Roddy wasn't here about how fast Channing Tindall is for 20 yards, and that's about all you got to do for a linebacker. So I'd say the secondary to me doesn't bother me as much as maybe some other people, but at the same time, it'll come along. We got a lot better secondary right now than we had last year at this time.
Coach, how much of a difference do you think it'll make for those guys to have this, I guess, the ability to kind of learn on the job? You know, a lot is made of the fact that Georgia's schedule is not one of the stronger ones in the nation this year. How much do you think that's going to benefit those guys to be able to go up against some of these, you know, the Austin Peas of the world, the Middle Tennessee States, and kind of cut their teeth and get that experience?
Well, it helps to a certain extent, but at the same time, you got to be ready right out of the box, because you got to go to Columbia and you're going to face a good quarterback in Jake Bentley and that one receiver's back that didn't play against us last year, that's you know, that they're hanging their hat with, that's a pretty good receiver. So, but you know, I think the one thing that our team has always stressed under Kirby is team defense and everybody playing within the system and you know, being where you're supposed to be. So if we've got a little weakness at one position, we can, you know, counter it with a different type of look or a different type of coverage and all that. I just don't think we'll be exposed much back there as far as lack of ability.
I think at that point you should watch Kirby Smart, because I think Georgia's athleticism against a team like Austin Peay will cover up a few issues. But if they're out of position, it's not being run as if you were playing Alabama. Watch Kirby on the sideline. If Richard LeCount gets over there, he went in the right spot, or J.R. Reed wasn't doing what he was supposed to, or Tyson Campbell was supposed to have inside instead of outside, he will let them know. So if you want to know where Georgia's – even though you're going up against an Austin Peay, if you really want to know where Georgia's defense is in terms of execution, even though they might win, you know, win handily, watch Kirby and Mel Tucker on the sideline. You can get a good feel for what they're doing right and wrong.
I would say that would be a lifetime deal.
Yeah, I think so. For the rest of their tenure here at Georgia.
But I don't think you'll ever see that guy get unwound from that standpoint. That's just the way what he is. But and part of it is because he is so ingrained in knowing, he knows his inside and out, and he gets across to the players, hey, you know, forget about the last play, let's play the next one. But let's don't take any of them off.
Jake, I've kind of finished my Noctua here.
Yeah, speaking of finishing them off here.
Hey, let's get some service to this guy. Yeah.
Now,
pretty good crowd here today, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
For those asking, I was drinking the Noctua. It's an Imperial Stout. I got a half pour, because the full pour, I mean, I'm a big dude, but that might lay me out.
We don't need you to lay it out here.
Phenomenal beer. What do you got over there?
So I have the Everything He Touches, which is their Brett Saison, kind of a sour. They infuse this one with some fruit. This is the triple berry.
Triple berry?
And this guy right here. Now, this is the one we got to talk about, because this is like snake venom. You just need a little bit of it. You know what I'm saying right now? No. This is actually Niobe's Tears. They do that one with a cranberry and key lime. And they're releasing this on this Saturday in Crowlers, these huge-ass cans. And you can come out here, get them, store them up, take these things to your house, enjoy this Academia beer anytime you want. And
that's the first time they're putting this in Crowlers. So
it's
kind of a monumental.
It's tremendous.
I like that word there.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, make sure to get out to Chops and Hops tomorrow, Tuesday evening. They're doing a white IPA release with those guys out there, combining on that. I think that's going to be very tasty as well. So
yeah, it's their IPA fruited with fresh blueberries and raspberries. So that's on tomorrow, July 3rd, at Chops and Hops. And remember, on Independence Day, they are open. So you can come in here and get all the stuff. And like I said, on noon, starting Saturday, you can get the Crowlers. Folks know what a growler is, you know. Crowler, can, you know. There you go. So a Crowler. So you're going to get the Niobe's Tears with raspberry and key lime.
Night Crowler.
Yeah.
You'll be a night crawler when you drink that whole thing. You'll just be crawled on your hands and knees. What is this one here? We got that's the
everything you touch.
Oh, so that is your team.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this let me put this in my bag.
That's the double IPA. Take it to the max. That's
we'll just keep this one on my side
when you want to go night night. but make sure you get out here.
Try the food. Stuff.
That's what I was going to say. The food at Academia. You know about the beer. We talk about the beer. We drink the beer every week. The food here is just as good, if not even better than the beer. I love their food here. It's some of the best you'll get in town. And as I've mentioned, I make a big deal about this, try to every week. They have guest brews on, and I love that about this. It's the only place in Athens you can come and try some Creature Comforts, try some Southern Brewing, get some Terrapin in there, and they get them from all around the state and all around the country. So they're not scared of competition, and for good reason.
Hey, while we're here, I want this prime rib sandwich.
Okay.
And then I want this black and blue chicken sandwich.
There you go.
And then I want the chickpea burger for my wife. And then you can actually get poutine here.
Get those appetizers.
Outstanding.
They got good appetizers.
Yeah, they do. The shrimp and avocado egg roll. Oh, my goodness.
Jarvis Hanna here with a good question, I think, to kind of launch us back into things. Jarvis, let's split this up, I think, into two questions. He wants to know, what's the deepest position going into camp? I think we should examine that from both offense and defense. I think offensively, I'm leaning toward offensive line. I think the depth you've got there is pretty stellar, even as deep as some of your other positions
are. I agree with you, because I like the coach's point. Georgia's second string offensive line would be as good as first string offensive those schools. So what is Georgia's second string offensive line if you had to go? Let's say Cade Mays at right tackle.
Okay.
Trey Hill at right guard.
Okay.
Warren Erickson at center. Jamari Sawyer at left guard. And who's your left tackle?
In that case, maybe you would – I don't know. Maybe you
– I mean, Owen Condon's got a bad bub knee.
Torrey Johnson, maybe.
That's possible.
You put Torrey out there?
I don't know, but you just never know. It's in and out. We got more guards, but I could see –
Justin Schaefer. Let him do it.
Yeah, I could see Hill or Salyer playing some center, too, on that second
group. That's true.
But, I mean, that's three five-stars.
We talk about the size of Hill's thighs and everything. But his hands, when he puts his hand on the ball, it looks like Shaq.
That's a paw, yeah.
I mean, you got that one-handed snap. Now, a lot of people do the tilted ball where you throw it back end over end, which I like. It eliminates a lot of problems. But he's just got a very natural motion there. And he could play guard or center. Salyer could, too. And they're just looking at all these guys to make it a good position. I like the receiver position really good. Tommy Bush, to me, is really a good-looking kid on the hoof, and I think he'll come in there and make a dent maybe. I don't know, in the two deep, but he gives you a big guy that's coming in here. But we look at Holloman supplementing the first three with Ridley and Mecole and certainly
Terry Godwin.
And then, Simmons is a player, Stanley. I mean, you got that, but
Trey Blunt.
And then the defense, though, I think going back again, the outside backers.
Yes.
The Jack and
is that the deepest position, though? Because that's the question, is what is the deepest position on defense?
Cox, Adamson, Walker, Devontae Walker.
DeAndre Walker.
I can't get these first names right. Those three guys right there at one slot right there. And then you got
Walter Grant.
You got Walter Grant. Then you got
– I know I'm forgetting some. Well, we got – I got to look back over it.
Nate Trezpatrick. You got guys there.
Keon Brown.
You got really
back inside.
You got good players there.
Quay Walker, depending on how that body fleshes out.
I think Quay's probably going to move inside just because of what we need inside. But those guys right there, I mean – can't get them on the field.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Honestly, I think the deepest position-wise, I know it sounds odd, but I'm looking at all those guys in the secondary Kirby brought in.
Well, as far as numbers, but I'm talking about quality. I mean, you got –
well, I guess that's the way we should qualify the question.
Which
is the deepest one, or which has the best quality? To me, deepest is a numbers question, and right now Georgia's got a ton of secondary guys. Quality-wise, I like that defensive front.
See, these guys –
I like the front two, the first line group.
Yeah.
And then you add Hayes in there, which is just a slam dunk.
We got table slamming
here. Beating the table for him.
I mean, just look at that kid when he's really got a good demeanor to go with the fact – which I always worry about a transfer, because the guy's got to come in and fit in, and he can't be a me-first guy, and he's worried about himself, which he should be a little bit when you're going into your fifth year. But – just a pleasant guy walking around and glad to be here and wants to help the team and got some leadership to him. And you can see those things when a guy's walking around the training room and speaks to everybody and just feels like he's, you know, I just feel good about him. I mean, he's a James Brown. I feel good.
You mentioned we talked about that outside linebacker position.
Not to guys, mention he can run like a yard dog.
A couple guys chiming in here reminding us of some of the dudes we forgot. Robert Beal at that outside linebacker spot. Aziz Ojulari is here.
Yeah, but he's injured, so that's why I didn't think of him.
But, see
what happens with a red
of your head.
You redshirted kid, and I forget all about it.
And a largely good-looking kid. I mean,
absolutely.
He's got, coming off surgery. But and I like the fact that you got that new rule where you can play him four games and, see what it can do and give him some reps and all. But that's a good position there. Very good. And D-line – not quite as deep on the numbers, but good-looking group.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a good, strong first group and second group. When they rotate them, I like those two groups. Real quick, I mentioned this earlier in the show. Independence Day is coming up in a couple days here. If you get a chance, I want you to swing by Athens Ford because the deals they have on their 4th of July saving, 0% APR for 60 months plus $2,000 in bonus cash. Now, that's pretty good, 0%, 60 months, 5 years, for people who qualify. But also, for military and first responders, they have an additional $1,000, their way of saying thank you for all the sacrifices you make and for keeping us safe. So, an additional $1,000 there. Right now, you can get a 2018 Ford Focus for $13,999, so under $14,000 for a 2018 Ford Focus SE. The 28 Ford Fusion SE, $18,999, so again, under $19,000. I'm like, okay, you're under $20,000. That's good. But get this. The Ford Escape, which is that good midsize SUV, you're kind of compact, $18,499. So basically you're getting you're saving $6,346. So you're under $19,000. In other words, you can get the 2018 Escape for less than the 2018 Fusion. So more car for your money. Can't beat it. Two more. The Ford Explorer, which is probably what I'm going to be getting maybe tomorrow, $8,000 off.
You going for a new one?
Wow, it must be nice.
I'm just saying, I need a new vehicle. July 3rd, I could probably do it. I'm really leaning towards that Explorer. It's $8,000 off. And so I'm like, okay, that's what I'm going to get. And then I look at this. They see me a note. They go, oh, yeah, but we also have the 2018 F-150 XLT Crew Cab, which is what I was driving us around in. $15,000 off.
Not bad.
So
not bad.
2018 F-150, the F-150, the world's best-selling truck. $15,000 off on a crew cab, enough room to sit everybody in it, plus the truck bed. It's phenomenal. I've driven it extensively. That is a great one. So now I'm back to analysis paralysis. Don't want that Explorer. Don't want the F-150.
Let's get a poll. What he should get here?
Yeah. If you have an opinion, chime in definitely in the comments here.
Your boy Jake last week did a good job on talking up the different things that we had on for Athens Ford. I thought you did a good job too.
Thank you.
Well,
hopefully
they saw a spike in sales, and that way when I go in there and be like, hey, can I get a deal on this?
You came out of the womb looking for a deal.
Hey, I'm half Palestinian.
Your middle
coach.
Name's Monty Hall.
I'm half Palestinian. You know I'm looking for a discount. Hey.
Our good buddy Chuck Ward with a good question here for you, Coach. You've had a chance to get out, look at these guys. You've seen them around the campus now. He says, you think Otis Reese stays at safety, or does he outgrow that and find himself at linebacker?
Right now I think that just the fact that he's so gifted speed-wise to go with his long arms and size. I mean, he just gives you a different type guy that can play safety. But, eventually he maybe could play inside, but I haven't seen him actually work out. But, I don't try to go out there to do that. But I do feel like that just on the eyeball test, he and Tindall and Walker and Campbell and Adams and then you add Cox in there. I mean, come on, man.
I agree with you on Otis. I think that Otis is a kid who is a different cat back there in the safety spot. Could he drop it in the linebacker? There's no doubt in my mind he could. I think he's plenty athletic. He's got the size.
You got 11 guys on the field, and the difference in college football now, because of all the different coverages, is when you hear about these two-gap players, you got to have a guy inside that can play both gaps, and you got to have a linebacker. But let's just say with with the evolution of zone blitzes and man free and all that, you gotta have somebody responsible for that area if the guy breaks a line of scrimmage and you're in man coverage. You know what I mean? Everybody's playing man with somebody free, so who's playing that gap that's left untold? And so what you got there is a guy like Reese that can do that, can fill up inside out. He can go in an A gap, which is in the guard center, or the B gap, the guard tackle, or the C gap outside. So he's lining up as a free safety, but his role is I'm playing pass, but if it is run, I got this gap because everybody else is taking these others. So, you know, in the old days, you just play in center field back there and you try to tackle the guy in the open field, but now you got the responsibility of playing man free, but you also got some run support. So he essentially is like a linebacker.
Absolutely. Where were you on the breakdown for that? That was pretty good.
No, I'm not saying a word.
Did I talk too fast on that?
No, I wasn't trying.
I'm just saying the evolution of the gap.
Absolutely.
No, I had some analysis that was here, but then Coach came in with a real analysis here, and I'm like, I'll just keep my comment to myself.
I think that's one thing that's helped teams against all these spread teams that spread you out and try to get one-on-one, and you know you've got to do something to take care of the box besides just the natural hoping that your line and linebackers take care of it. You know, if a guy breaks free, somebody's got to be ready to help in that area. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So if you're geared in to, hey, I got this, but I'm looking not necessarily tackle guy down the field if he runs outside, but if he runs in this area, I better be ready to go because nobody else is there.
Right.
Otis Reese can do that. And I also think even though Terry LeCount is a little smaller for sure, very good vision, and he can come up there and put the lay the lumber to you. And then you got a guy like J.R. Reed that proved last year open field tackling was, you know, one of his fortes. I mean, get a guy on the ground, that, you know, that tackle he made against the quarterback from Notre Dame was critical in that game. I mean, just when you got to have it, you got to have it.
Good question here from Maverick James for you, Coach.
He says, James Garner.
Will Swift play a role like Sony if Zamir is fully healthy? Or how do you see those two working out on the rotation? Thoughts on who's going to be the primary back that gets the ground and pound yards?
Well, here's the thing that everybody needs to understand. This guy had major surgery on his knee. And, you know, we saw with Chubb, it took a little while for him to get back. He did pretty good job his first year, but his night and day his second year, you know, the way Chubb looked to me. What do you guys think?
Absolutely.
So I thought,
no question.
We got the same thing with Zamir. Plus, he doesn't have the experience of playing in college ball that Chubb had. So maybe not as much of a feature back as he's going to be because he's a great player between the tackles without question, and he's got really good explosive straight-ahead speed. But, you know, I think people don't realize how good Swift is because he was kind of negated a little bit because it's hard to get out there when you got those other two war daddies playing all the time, both of them drafted in the first 32 in the country. So, but the thing that I liked about Swift that was kind of a symbolism here of how the coach feels, in a lot of critical situations, he was asked to deliver. Throwing the ball to him in the flat, you could have thrown it to anybody on the team against Florida the early part of the game, and he threw it in the flat to him for a big play, you know, when we made our first down. And there's a true freshman in a big game down there. So those are salient features of the way Chaney coaches. He's going to go to the guy that – we feel like it's going to give you the best opportunity, and I think Swift showed that last year. I think both of them can be every day down backs, and I feel the same way. Harrion kind of got left in the shuffle a little bit last year, but he's got all kind of ability, and so does Holyfield. So we're good there, and then you add Cook, who is just explosive. It's just going to be a lot of running back by committee from the standpoint. Put them all in there, and not because we don't have a great one. It's just because all of them got certain issues from the standpoint of Cook. He hadn't been here to learn everything. Zamir coming off the injury. Swift coming, I think he came back too fast from his injury and really wasn't ready in the spring. And so,
well, that's why Holyfield's going to be your lead back. Swift's going to take over Sony's spot. Because, I mean, last year I was calling it third and Swift.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, hey, third down, whether you need 7 yards, whether you need one, they kept bringing in Swift for
you
that.
You knew if he came in, too, pretty much. I mean, it seemed like it. Now, I know people say you can't predict it, but it felt like when he was on the field, they were looking his way.
Yeah, it was third and Swift. So that's he came in.
That's good.
But that's why, again, because I brought this up in my 3-2-1 article, who's going to be that, you know, primary three-down back? And I'm thinking from a health standpoint, right now, it's Elijah Holyfield. And I could definitely see they keep Swift doing Sony does. And you remember Sony got a lot of carries, and he was in there all the time. So Swift moves, I don't say up in the pecking order, but he does a lot of the same stuff that Sony and Michelle did.
Absolutely.
So, you know, catch it, throw it. But if you need to go between the tackles, here's Elijah Holyfield doing it. And then you bring in Zamir White on those third downs. You know, you're not using him to bang up that knee.
He's, I don't know that Zamir is the type of receiver that Swift is yet. He's going to have to develop on that. But
I'm just saying for the amount of usage that he got, he's used about as much as Swift was last year, kind of. You know, that,
but the thing that's going to be
your third option.
Really big for us is his 29 practices to see how everybody meshes together. And then because you really don't have a feel – because we're answering this question, we really don't have a feel from spring practice
and
the G-Day game about what's happening because – neither one of the two guys that you're talking about played in a situation where they even got tackled, so you had to get Holyfield ready. So I think it's that could be as deep a position as anybody on our team too with those guys, and Cook can be an every down back too. Everybody just loves the fact he's so fast and all, he can catch a ball, but he can squirt. Look at the way his brother ran.
Absolutely.
I mean, some of your best runs for fast guys are inside because everybody's worried about you going outside.
And I've made this point before, and I try to remind people of it frequently. You know, a lot of people like to talk about how James is physically a bit less imposing than Dalvin was in college. The thing about it is Dalvin Cook showed up to Florida State looking a lot like James Cook is showing up to at Athens.
That's a good point. I'd forgotten that.
He was tough, man. He could take a lick and
James
block.
Is young too.
It's a good. I mean, you get a guy like James Cook from Miami, Florida. I mean, come on, man.
Let's
get a lot of money. You got Tyson Campbell coming up here too, and you're looking at Tariq Stevenson maybe. That could be kind of a neat.
That would be a nice place to get a pipeline running.
I'm just saying, you know.
Makes you think you should probably try to keep your receiver coach and keep him here.
It seems, doesn't it seem like that?
Yeah. It almost sounds like, yeah.
And Tyreek Stevenson might have mentioned that in our story.
And maybe if your wide receivers coach, you move him to, I don't know, quarterbacks coach and,
That's good.
Offensive coordinator maybe, you know.
That was a good move by old Kirby.
Let's see. We've got a couple. Alan Verbonishik with a good point, I thought. He said, remember, Chubb's injury was worse than Zamir White's.
By far.
He tore a lot more stuff up in that knee, for sure.
Good point.
My personal thought on it, I think Swift is going to be your guy this year. I think that they're going to
hitch. He very well could be.
They're going to hitch the wagon to him. I think he's going to be running between tackles. I think he's going to be splitting out wide. He can do it all. He was a complete back in high school playing against high-level competition. Every time we saw him, whether it was the opening, Rivals Challenge, anything like that, he was still able to make it all happen. That kid is a feature back at any school.
I'm just saying that from a health standpoint, to me, if it's first down, you're going to run the ball. Where we stand today, the one I know that's healthiest and ready to take it and ready to prove something is Elijah Holyfield.
Yeah, I think that's very
but
well taken.
To your point, 29 practices from now, if Sony Swift is as healthy as we've seen him when he first got here, I'm handing him the ball. I'm going to fake it to him.
Yeah, sure.
Because everyone's going to crowd that line thinking he's getting it, you know.
It's just a nagging injury. I mean, when you have a groin injury, it's hard to get back 100% if you try to come back too quick. So
I know Zamir White is going to be a guy who's like, I'm ready to go, coach.
Yeah.
And I'm going to trust, Ron Corson's like, we've been through this with guys, your talent level, your skill level. You're strong enough to re-injure it,
Absolutely.
By torquing things the wrong way. So I just hope that he trusts Ron enough
the
guy's chomping at the bit to be that premier back. He wants it on first down the first game.
Of course.
And Zamir's ready to take off. So
here's
I love that
point,
about
though,
him, but I worry that he goes too fast.
He hasn't had, the hits that, even though you got to realize that when you have a substantial injury like that, that even though you think you're ready, it's still how's your body going to react when you when you're finally coming back and doing things that you naturally used to do. So it's my history with those ACLs, it just takes a little while to, you know, make sure that you can compensate for what you didn't have and make the other parts go. And he'll make it go. I mean, he's had great rehab, but what else we got here?
Jason Howell says, what game does Fields play in? He said, I say he gets in game one. I think that that's a very listen, if he doesn't, things are very worrisome.
Yeah, exactly.
Things got real tight against Austin Peay. So, be nervous if you don't see Justin Fields game one. I think he definitely gets in there right off
the bat. I think the better question is what quarter does he get in game one?
No, that's a good one.
Here's the thing that's going to happen there, too. I think from looking at and listening to Kirby, and I really don't talk to him about things like personnel, but you're going to have an open competition there, just like Jake had an open competition with Eason in the first of camp last spring and fall, you know, and then they declared a guy as a starter. And certainly Jake's the guy coming back, had a tremendous year. But you know, we've got a good enough group of second-team guys right now, and he's listed on second team, that I could see us putting in a whole unit of players there, you know.
Yeah.
And because – there's, you know, there's a lot to be said about playing with guys you've been practicing with. So,
yeah, that is point, because we talked about what is the second string offensive line.
Right.
That's, you know, 3 5 stars there. You
there's
put in a five star quarterback.
There's a lot to be said about depth
and building
running back. Depth like that, you know. But I don't know that would happen. But
it would be fun. It'd be fun to watch.
We're going to have a full blown competition for a lot of positions that, and that's the way it should be. You know, every guy needs to win his job. Continuously.
Yeah, I was going to say repeatedly. Yes.
And I've had that, you know, I've had situations where, you know, you just lay in bed at night worrying about, hey, well, I know this guy can do, and I'm not talking about Jake, I'm just talking about in general, you know, I know this guy can do it, but can this other guy really help us be better, you know? So that's what your job is as a coach, to get the best players on the field. And Kirby's had a lot of experience that playing younger guys at Alabama that have overtaken guys that were, you know, really good players. But the proof's in the pudding. How do you do when you're practicing out there? And we'll see what happens. But
that's why I'm always looking for a new recruiting writer, coach.
No, but this guy right now, we're going to keep him until next week for sure.
There you go. There you go.
Seriously, we're keeping through my vacation. After that, all bets are off.
Though, there hasn't been a lot of guys around here or anywhere that has the athletic ability that Justin Fields had, and that's just he's just a special talent. And whether he can transform that to overtaking Jake, we'll have to see. But Jake's a special talent too.
One last question here. We're going to take from Jason Howell as we're kind of wrapping things up.
We're already 1 o'clock.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? We've when you're out here knocking these back, it seems to move a little faster.
And also, before you get to that question,
yeah,
quick reminder, swing out by Your Pie in either 58 locations. And,
wow.
And, again, 10 of those open since we started doing the show. So
that peach and prosciutto pie is the pie of the summer. Go check it out.
How you say that?
Peach and prosciutto.
You had to say prosciutto.
But that could
be a Jeopardy question.
The reason I wanted to bring them up one last time is because I've been to their locations, and they carry a ton of craft beers. Mm-hmm. And I was in there, and they had Creature Comforts. They had Southern Brewing Company. They had, of course, Terrapin. And they had Academia on the east side of Athens. They are a huge sponsors in their community. They do all sorts of charity deals for local causes. So they are a good member of the community. So be sure to support Your Pie when you get a chance. And it's right now, when summer, go in there and get the ice cream they have.
Oh, yeah, the gelatos.
Gelatos are
– they are
that's
point,
good. And
definitely,
if you try the orange, blood orange, that is almost like a sorbet. It's phenomenal.
I'm with it.
So what was the last question?
So our last question of the day actually comes from Jason Howell, too. And this is something that I think a lot of people are going to be very interested in, because it's something we got to ask about a lot last year. He says, What do you think about the percentage of run pass option this year? Do you think that we're going to see that 50-50 increase? Yeah, he said, to be honest, I think 60% or more possibly. I think that 50-50, not a bad guess. I think that you're going to definitely see more of it. I think it was clear last season they wanted to install more of it, and I think with the trust they've got behind Fromm, you may see.
You're talking about running the RPO plays, or you're talking about run to pass?
No, RPO plays.
I think we probably won't do quite as many because we're better. I mean, you run the RPO because you're not sure what the defense is going to do. You know, not sure about your ability, and there's a lot of stuff up in the air about it. But he's definitely capable of doing that. But I think there's a lot to be said about going up there and knowing that you can Burma road that sucker.
Yeah, that's true.
And just the bully ball that Sam Pittman was talking about. He says we want to be bullies on offense.
So yeah. I think there's a lot to be said about that, and that really sets up your play action even better. A play action pass is a lot better than RPO because – you know, you're really selling the run a little bit more. You know, on the other one, you don't know if you're going to be running it or not. So there's a lot to be said about an RPO, you know, for the fans out there. I think they're really good, but there's a lot to be said about knowing what you're going to do and leaving out any kind of chance for, I thought he was going to do this, I thought he was going to do that. But you got a really good guy, and I'm sure Justin's good at it too, but Jake's very good at doing that. But I wouldn't think a team that's as talented as us in the offensive line would have to run as many RPOs as a team that wouldn't be.
That's why you were a coach and we work at a website.
Exactly.
So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. Huge shout out to Academia. Great to be out here today. The guys treated us awesome. I can't wait to get done with this so I can go have some lunch.
Yes.
Everything's looking
good.
And
I need to top these off
again. Bunch of people out here
top
today.
Them off.
Come out. Remember,
you got Uber taking you out here?
We've got the stat man here.
I'm probably going to have to take care of him later.
I'm not trusting you after a couple of these.
Tuesday, like I said, at the IPA, or the White IPA is releasing at Chops and Hops. Get out there, a collaboration with them. Saturday, you got Crowlers. Starting at noon of this raspberry key lime. It was excellent, the everything he touches. Brett.
Saison.
Some great stuff going on here. Shout out to all the other sponsors as well.
Yeah, big shout out to Athens Ford. Swing by there. Go by Europie. Cable East out in Statham. Nothing you can't really go by there. But if you see Robert Wall around, give him a shout out to us from us. Also, swing by 365 Game Day. They're good folks there as well.
Talk about the site, because I don't think people that maybe listen to the podcast, but the site, man, they got a lot of stuff on there.
Go by UGASports.com. I mean, and we wouldn't do this if we didn't have the website. It's 27 cents a day. We've got before we got on the show, we had to stop putting up stories. It's July 2nd. We've got 7 stories on the site right now.
You're telling them to produce, aren't you? You want them to produce? Well,
yeah, but they're in admin, so we'll put those stories out later in the afternoon. But by the time you've read your 6th story, it takes a little while. You have to take a break. You have to come by your pie.
I like that countdown and have all the different plays.
Yes. We got Patrick Garbin here and Dave McMahon. They're doing the countdown to kickoff. Each day they mention one play that's the equivalent in yardage of what the countdown number is. So today was 61 days away, so we've got Frank Sinkwich. You know, a touchdown of his, you know, against
to a guy named Duck, which is awesome.
I like Duck.
Conger?
Duck Conger.
What a hell of a name.
Yeah, so a 61-yard pass there. So, I mean, it's been a phenomenal series. So, in other words, swing by UGASports.com. There's so much free stuff over there. You can read – I think you can read 4 free stories today, and then there will be by the end of the day, there will be like 5 recruiting stories that are behind the paywall. If you want to join up, you can get free for 30 days. The promo code is UGA30, so try that. Anyway, we'll see you next week from Champions Tuesday at noon.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie. Hey!
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.